Last night we were talking about dick dog. What's a dick dog? Rattlesnake. I like that. Friends who influence you badly, okay? And they are friendly and they are warm and they are cooperative and, you know, and they talk you out of doing good things. And they distract you and they get you doing bad things. So I wanted to say, you know, in the Buddhist tradition, when you run into a dick dog, you're supposed to be cool with them. You're not supposed to be righteous and, you know, say, you're a dick dog, I'm not allowed to spend time with you. You know, we are, in the Buddhist tradition, we're supposed to, when it's appropriate, and when you get stuck in a situation with some dick drugs, you're supposed to be kind and attentive and, you know, if they want you to watch a football game. My lately deceased stepfather watched TV all day at a very loud volume, all day. From the moment he woke up to the moment he went to bed, the TV was blasting through the whole house. And I went to see my mom, you know, a couple of days ago, and, you know, he passed away, and it was so quiet, and it felt like a monastery, you know. But I didn't hassle him. We didn't hassle him. We just kind of worked around him, you know, and we didn't give him lectures or, you know, we didn't get righteous with him. We just, you know, let him do his thing and asked him once in a while to turn it off for dinner and things like that. And so in the Buddhist tradition, you're supposed to sort of, you know, it's not that you're supposed to be righteous and say you're an evil person and I can't hang out with you because, you know, you don't put protein in your shakes or, you know, like that. We're supposed to be nice to everybody and friendly to everybody. And then we just design our life that we don't spend a lot of time with people who might sidetrack us, you know. But if you get into a situation where you're in the room and your stepfather's watching a football game, then you sit down and you watch a football game and you make intelligent comments about the end receivers and tight ends and stuff like that. And, you know, that's a Buddhist way. You get along with people, but you try to generally design your life that you're not put in those situations much. Okay. Then he said, Tadagashiki duchen chokshe chepatala. So nowadays, some people see those of us who are trying to be duchen chokshe. Say duchen chokshe. Duchen chokshe. It's a very famous expression from the Abhidharma Kosha, which was written 17 centuries ago. And it describes a person who has chosen to become a meditator in this life. They would like to become a good meditator in this life. And one of the guidelines for a person who would like to be a serious meditator is called Duchen Chokshe. Duchen means, and there's two parts. Duchen is one part and Chokshe is another part. Duchen means few wants, few needs. So ideally a meditator should be a person of few needs, okay? They shouldn't crave a lot of stuff, a lot of extra stuff, you know. And they're just living with not too many things, okay? Duchung. And then Chokshe means, I like Chokshe. Chokshe literally means to be satisfied with what you have. But the way it was taught to me was it's some kind of a friendship with your possessions, like old shoes or old jeans and an old coat, and you become sort of friends. And you say, old coat, I love you, you know. I've had you for 5 years. You know, you fit me just right, you know. I had you on when I met my girlfriend. You know, like that, you get a relationship with your possessions, which is kind of sweet. And you don't have many possessions, but you use them well, and you use them thoughtfully. And you don't have a lot of possessions that you don't know very well. You see what I mean? So that's called Dzogchen Chokshe. And in the Abhidharma, this is a very good attitude for a meditator. People say, do you need this, this, this? The last thing I said to my mom, I'm walking down to the sidewalk, to the car, to the rental car, and I'm like, so is there anything you need? And she says, why, no. She's always like that. If people who know her, she's like very amazing. And she's like, she like thought about it, and she said, no. You know, I don't need anything. And it's true. And then Chokshe means the stuff she has. She takes good care of it. And she's not attached to it. She gives it away easily. And she likes her stuff. You know, she likes her. She goes walking every morning. She has her walking shoes and stuff like that. She has a, what do you call it? Walking stick. And yeah. And she likes them. And she's not attached to them. So like that, Dzogchen Chokshe. So people see people like that, which is what we're supposed to be. And then Ditsam Lu Ma Tongshik means don't be so radical. You see, they say don't be so fanatical about your spiritual life. You know, loosen up a bit. Don't be so anal about your meditation. You know, you don't have to do it every day. You know, you should take a break, or you know, that yoga stuff, you know, it's nice, but don't go overboard. To them, we look like we're going overboard if we have a sweet, modest daily practice, you know, and they think you're a cult, or they think you're a fanatic, like that. And you're just trying to do your quiet little daily practice, you know. So if you meet people like that who say, you know, loosen up a little bit, tong shik. Then they'll say to you, you know, if you get too involved in this stuff, you won't succeed. And they seem to talk sincerely. Nian nian means they seem very sweet. Their talk is sweet, sweet. Nian nian means sweet, sweet. A guitar in Tibetan is called danyan, sweet sound. A lute, a Tibetan lute is called a danyan, sweet sound. So they sweet talk you. And they're like, you know, don't go overboard, you know. I mean, it's not, don't be fanatic about, you don't have to meditate all the time. And you don't have to go to those classes. You can go once in a while, you know, like that. And they sound reasonable, okay. Nyen nyen tar mawa yuma. They do, I admit they sound reasonable, but dundu dikdong ni yin shing. But those reasonable people who try to get you not to be too committed are real rattlesnakes. They are real dikdoks. Dikdok ni, the ni here, NYID means that's what a dikdok is. Okay? They're not like demons, they don't have pitchforks, they don't stab you when you sit down to meditate. You know. They are very nice people, and they're normal people. You know, with a normal life, and they say, don't go overboard on this Buddhism stuff. You know, it's okay. It's cool that you're going, and it's cool that you meditate once in a while, but, you know, you don't have to do it every day, or you don't have to go to every single class. You know, what's the deal? You know, don't be fanatic, okay? But that's what a dikdok is. They're not people who are going to handcuff you and drag you to a movie or something like that. They're people who seem very reasonable, okay? Yinqing de la ngu su cik zu bu min dong. How does it say? Don't respond to them unkindly. Okay? Ngu su means cik zu bu means with, don't be sarcastic to them, or don't say, okay, your mom died last year, you're going to die next year. What are you talking about? You know, what's fanatic? If everyone's going to die and lose everything you own, what's fanatic? You know, like, don't confront them unkindly, okay? Don't be too hard on them. So, see, Madhu, Ranki laklen deshin mi che gosung. Just avoid being like them. In a gentle, thoughtful way, don't buy into their viewpoint. But don't hassle them or try to fight with them. He's saying, be sweet to them also, okay? All right. That, by the way, completes the first homework. Okay, so we're kind of on schedule. we'll see if that continues. So we finished the first five problems of having some kind of negativity enter your relationship with your teacher. And then we're on, what was problem five? What did we just finish? What's the problem? What happens to you according to problem five? Two parts. Yeah. Yeah, okay. The good spiritual qualities you were born with or you came into this life with, which are most of your good qualities, okay? You can't take credit for almost anything good about you. It was all Joe's fault. Joe means your last life, okay? And so you'll lose the habits, the good habits that you came into this life with, and you will not be able to develop new ones, good new ones, okay? These are the two parts of problem number five. What's the problem of failing in your relationship with your teacher? Failing to be sweet with your, respectful and affectionate with your teacher. Okay, it doesn't mean fanatic things where you cut your fingers off, and that's not helpful, and that's not, no real teacher wants that kind of thing. They want you to be happy. They want you to be successful in your life. They want you to have a good relationships, and They're not asking you. If someone asks you to do really weird stuff, just tell them, you know, that's okay. I don't do that kind of. When you see emptiness for the first time, what's the relevant? Yeah, there's a bad attitude called overdoing it in almost a violent way or dangerous way. Dangerous over religiosity. Like go stand out in the sun for 12 hours and or make yourself sick or hurt yourself fast too long. Or we're not allowed to do things like that. We're supposed to be middle way. Take care of your body. Take care of your mind. Get enough sleep. Have an honest livelihood that doesn't hassle other people. It can be a modest livelihood, but it should be honest. And you shouldn't grub off other people. But don't do like fanatical things. That's not allowed in our tradition. Okay. Dupa tsendir neso min dupe tsepani. The sixth problem is that you will be harassed by all kinds of problems, day-to-day problems, for example, serious health problems, or things will come up in your day-to-day life, such as sickness, that hurt you, okay, because you failed in your relationship with your teacher. So he's going to quote Lama Ngapchupa. What's Lama Ngapchupa? Yeah, the 50 verses on lamas. So this was written by a master named Ashvaghosha, okay? Was it Aryadeva? He's after, yeah, similar name. Yeah, Ashvaghosha lived. Ashvaghosha is cool because that's the oldest book we normally use in our tradition. Okay, in the tradition of the Dalai Lamas, the oldest book that we use, which is not a Buddha's teaching, right, is Ashvaghosha's 50 verses on lamas. It's 50 verses of poetry about how to have a good relationship with your teacher. So I think it's kind of significant that that's the oldest book we study normally. Like the Heart Sutra and the Diamond Cutter Sutra, these are older, right, by 600 years. But between the Buddha's time up to just before Nagarjuna, we don't have any books from those times. There were nothing survived. A lot went to Sri Lanka, the Pali texts, but we don't have... In our tradition, we kind of picked up at 200 AD or 100 AD. So Ashvaghosha is 100 AD. He has another name in Sanskrit, which is Shura, which is translated into Tibetan as Pawo. What's Pawo? Warrior. Okay. So his other name is Warrior. When they say the warrior, they mean him. And he wrote a book called The 50 Verses, about 100 years before Nagarjuna, Arya Nagarjuna. That book is the most important introduction to the higher teachings, to the secret teachings, okay? It's considered the highest introduction there is to the secret teachings. How to behave towards your teacher is considered the foundation of the secret teachings. And a lot of the vows, of the secret vows, are based on this book, are directly taken from this book, okay? So those of you who went through the 7-year course at Diamond Mountain, you know that, of course, okay? Lama Nyam and Lapcha Kesaji, Puna Ginja Dola Champa Pumuja Sabla Dunga Chamla Mamma Sandarangi Pumuja Dama Nibal Dujan Sawa Dan Tama Dan Dana Sanjay Dan Dazi Mita Kumi Mabi Dits Other Jishi Sota Dada Sang. These are the vows. Okay? Which you're not supposed to know what they are. Okay. So he quotes the 50 verses on lamas. Lopan Lani Mapate Yam Dan Sewe Ne Nam Dang Dun Dan Rim Dan Tug Nam Ki Mongchen Dini Chiwargyur. Lopan Lani Mabate, a person who has criticized their master. And again, we're not talking about criticizing Geshe Michael or something like that. We're talking about you seek a master in your life, you seek a spiritual guide. And that's the most important priority for a Buddhist, is to find your heart teacher. And then when you find a person who's a likely candidate, you investigate them for years. And you go to their classes and you listen to what they say and you see what they're doing. You investigate their private life. You check them out thoroughly. And then if you're satisfied and if they seem to be the special person in your life, then you request that they become your teacher. After that, you have to be very careful with them. Heavy karma, very heavy karma. We were joking about Adam's t-shirt, which is guru. The word guru is related to the word gravity in English. The word gravity comes from the same root as guru. Guru means to be heavy. And the karma, so the word guru in Sanskrit means heavy karmic object. It means be careful, okay? You can get enlightened if you have a good heart teacher and you have a sweet relationship, affectionate and respectful relationship. But if you screw up in that relationship, then it's extremely heavy the other way. You have very, very powerful negative karma, okay? So here he says, someone who checks out a person for a long time and then makes the commitment to be close to them as a disciple, if they criticize their master, yam dang tsewe ne nam dang, mongchen deni chiwar gyur, the last line in this first verse means that fool, or that deluded person, meaning who criticized their teacher, chiwar gyur, will die as a result. The karma will kill them. How? Then he lists the ways that they could be killed. Yam means infectious disease, like AIDS or what else is there nowadays? HIV, SARS, things like that. These are diseases which spread easily from person to person. Okay. Sewe ne means sewa means very serious. Deadly diseases like cancer, or, you know, different forms of cancer. Okay. Dun is a difficult idea, but it means it means mental diseases that come about through the influence of really serious bad karma. So depression, very serious suicidal tendencies, deep depression, low self-esteem. The word means evil spirit, but in practical terms, it's deep states of depression or confusion or anxiety or low self-esteem. Okay, mental disease. Rim. Rim means different kinds of plagues. And I think in America nowadays it would be things like, there are plagues in the United States. One is overeating is a plague. And if you go to a country where they don't overeat, like we were just in mainland China, And no, people don't overeat, and they don't eat bad food. It's just not part of their culture. They don't like donuts, and they don't like wheat, big wheat ball things, and they don't. You can offer them a pizza, and they're like, "I'll just take some green vegetables." You know that they don't have a custom to eat poorly. And then you fly home, and in the airport, it's very depressing. It's very sad. You feel like, oh. My people, my country's people are killing themselves, you know. They're destroying their precious bodies. Their beautiful, precious bodies that they were granted, they are destroying them. Because they can't control themselves, you know. And so that's called rim. So rim means like internet addictions or... Which I think is probably the most serious problem in the modern world. Is the internet addiction or all kinds of addictions, pornography, sex, alcohol, pills, not so much drugs. I mean, not a lot of people are addicted to heroin or something like that, but many people are addicted to taking all kinds of pills that doctors happily give them and charge them for. And we're addicted to those things. Television is a terrible... I think television was invented by a demon. There's a joke in Tibet. They believe that there's a Tibetan cheese, chura kambo. Say chura kambo. It's a dried Tibetan cheese. It's the shape of a dice, a cube, and they drill a hole through it, and you string it on a string. And you put the string over your neck, and you ride your horse to East Tibet, you know. And then when you get hungry, you pull a piece off, and you... stick it in your mouth, and it's very, very hard. It's like a rock. And it melts in your mouth if you hold it in your mouth for like 6 hours. And you have to kind of chew away at the corners of it. But in Tibet, they believe that Chura Kambo was invented by the devil because you can't recite Om Mani Padme Hum while you're eating Chura Kambo. You're like, if you don't pronounce it correctly, it doesn't count, you see. And there's a joke that dried cheese cubes were invented by the devil. I think television was invented by the devil. And it just wastes your time, you know, just totally wastes your life. You wake up, you're 60 years old, and suddenly all your life consisted of watching foolish things done by foolish people. About foolish subjects and, you know, nothing. So anyway, we do have plagues in our society. And then I would say, and then the last one here is tuk. Tuk means toxins. I translated for the Dalai Lama's doctor for quite a while. And when he came to the United States, and I remember... he was in New York. Alice Karen was in her mother's arms. That's how long ago it was. She's our accountant. She's, what, 35 now? And she was in her mother's arms, and I was translating for the doctor. And he said, somebody asked him, he had a question and answer, and somebody asked him, what are the causes of cancer? And he said, canned food, all preservatives, in all of your American food, all the preservatives are carcinogens. And then he said, one of the largest causes of cancer in the United States is automobile tires. As they wear out, the powder of the rubber goes into the air, and then it enters your lungs, and it's a carcinogen. All electrical appliances, all electrical circuits in your walls are carcinogens. They're all electromagnetic. All your internet, all your cell phone transmissions are carcinogens, and we were like, you know. And then somebody raised their hand. It was so cute, and somebody said, "If those are the causes of cancer, you know, well, it's hopeless. You know, what can we do? That's everything we use and eat, you know." And I translated to him, and he looks at me, and he's kind of confused, and he said, he got a little angry, and he said, I didn't say those were the causes of cancer. I said that what was giving you cancer. And I said, yeah, well, it's the same thing. And he said, no, it's not. The cause of cancer is not having enough love for other people. It's not stuff in your food and stuff. You know, he was very offended. He said, the reason we get cancer is we don't have compassion for our fellow man. And then that creates the carcinogens. And it was a beautiful exchange. Anyway, so that's tug. Tug means toxins in your world. Car pollution, internet. I believe, you know, 50 years from now, they will outlaw the kind of internet, wireless that we now use, that and cell phone transmission towers will be outlawed. They'll cause serious damage to people's bodies. Then he says, Galpo Medon, he's not done with things that will kill you after you, things that will hurt you, harass you, if you have problems with your relationship with your teacher, the one that you chose after many years of careful investigation. Galpo Medon, Drul Duktang. Galpo means government damage. Damage done by the government to you, like sending you to Iran or overtaxing you, or, you know, things that the governments in we were in Ukraine, and I love the Ukraine, and we're going back to the Ukraine, but it is the most corrupt country in the world. All the money for roads is stolen by the government, by the politicians, all of it. And you can't drive on a highway in Ukraine. There's one highway working. It's the first 5 miles from the airport to Kiev. And the rest of the country, which is the largest country, or was, by landmass in Europe, doesn't have a highway. You know, this is Ukraine. And so the government will hurt you, okay? Your own government will hurt you. Galpo means the king and the royal government. May means fire. You'll be caught in a fire. You'll be burned. Drulduk means poisonous creatures like rattlesnakes at Diamond Mountain, things like that. Okay. Diamond Mountain's not so bad. Diamond Mountain has a lot of snakes. The old retreat place it was covered with snakes, and that was fun. Okay. Chu means flooding, like our friends in Colorado. Sudden 100-year floods, or 100-year, 1,000-year, anyway, unusual floods. Kondro, what's Kondro? Kondro, what's the Sanskrit? Dakini. Dakini means an angel flying in the sky. But in ancient times, the word Dakini also meant a spirit. Any kind of negative spirit was also called Dakini. Okay. So this Kondro, sky goer, also in the old days meant like an evil spirit. Something like that. These are unseen living beings who can affect your mind state. Okay, and you don't believe in them, so I guess they don't exist. All right. Kumbho means people who steal things from you. Okay, I was in Sacramento giving a teaching, and two of the cars were broken into during the teaching. And, you know, Sacramento's the capital of California, and the people are all like middle class, reasonable people. But a lot of them use drugs, so they need money. And they told me, never park your car where you can't see it in Sacramento. I'm like, this is like this little small town with lots of green trees and dogs. And, you know, I'm like, what? They said, never, ever leave your car where you can't see it in Sacramento, because people just smash the window and take whatever they can because they need $10 for meth, or, you know. And so to live in a town like that where they steal everything if you're not looking at it, it's one of the results of that kind of karma. Okay. Dun dun lok den nam ki kyang. This we had dun already in the last verse. It means like negative spirits, but this is a special kind. It goes with lok den. What's lok da? wrong view. So lok means wrong. Lok den means people who persuade you to follow a path which is not useful, which wastes your time, wastes your life. Den means to, you know the word tongue, right? Tongue is a form of the verb den. They're the same verb. Tongue means to pull or to direct or to interpret something that the Buddha said. Figurative means tongue, den, okay? Heyarta. What do you call that? Figurative language. But this den means someone who pulls you the wrong way, someone who influences you the wrong way. So it's just like someone who wastes your time, okay? You study, they talk you into studying some, I don't know, I have friends who did 10 years of, I'm not even going to say, they just wasted their time for 10 years. They followed something and then after 10 years they kind of just decided it didn't help them at all. And that's lokden, okay? Waste your time. People who waste your time. Spiritually. Lokden namki kyang. Sene semchen nyawadro. They will kill you. You will die. Wasted your time. Or in a flood, or in a fire, or from a mugger, or something like that. I don't know if you've had friends who were killed by muggers or things, but it's very sad. You know, they killed them for a wallet, or, you know, I've had friends, I've lost friends like that. As you get older, you lose more and more in different ways. And sene, they will kill you. Semchen nyawa dro means, nyawa means, you know nyawa? That's nyawa. This is nyawa. Nyawa. Naraka. Yeah, the health, okay? The health, naraka, the health. Nyawa means the health. They are sometimes called semchen nyawa, okay? Which means hell being's place. So it's a very difficult expression. Semchen normally means person, or being. And then nyawa means hell. But semchen nyawa means the place where the people live who live in hell. Okay? It's a strange expression. It's an unusual expression. Okay. Ki kyang. So you will die and you will go to those places. More verses, more jolly verses, okay. Hopefully we'll get through this part and go to the qualifications of a lama. Namyang lopan taki ni kudu semtu michate. Namyang means never, ever, ever, never. I have this Bob Harper DVD. He teaches me yoga every day on tour. It's a 1-hour yoga DVD of this kind of crazy guy. And he makes you work really hard. And if you bend your leg, he's like, never, ever, never, never. And he's like, don't straighten out that leg. And you're like, okay, Bob. Namyang is that kind of emphatic never ever. Ken Rinpoche used to say never ever. Never ever. Never ever. Lopan Daki Ni, your master's possessive. Kundu Semtruk means disturb their peace of mind. Don't disturb your teacher. Okay, don't do things, don't say things that would disturb their day. Okay, that would mess up their day. Okay, like don't ever, never do anything or say anything that would disturb your lama's peaceful day. That's a very big Buddhist no-no. Okay, that's a very, and I'm just teaching you tradition. I didn't make it up, but it's a beautiful tradition. If you get into it, it's a beautiful tradition. Like watch your lama. Do not disturb their heart, okay? Don't ruin their peace of mind. You can't hurt their peace of mind, but you can mess up their day. How? The biggest way you can mess up a lama's day or make them have an unhappy day or something is to fight among each other. It's when two students of the same lama are hurting each other or unkind to each other, or less than beautiful to each other, that disturbs the lama's heart deeply. And that directly affects their health, immediately affects their health, okay? So you have to be really careful with that. That's the That's the way to really ruin the lama's day, is if you are unkind to each other, okay? Or if you hurt each other, or competitive with each other, or jealous of each other, or not serving each other, then that, it hurts the lama's body, okay? So never ever, he said, never ever upset your teacher, okay? And there were many, many occasions on Ken Rinpoche, I would just swallow the problems. Like, you know, I would just, he never knew. I remember one day he found out that the phone wasn't free. Like, after 15 years or something, he's like, you have to pay for the long distance to India? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, I never knew that. I said, yeah, that's, we didn't want you to know. We just paid it, you know, and he never had to. If you're really good and you're really close to Lama and you're attending them, then swallow the problems and you take the problems and you fix them and you don't bother them and you don't waste their time, okay? Don't waste their time on, I call it refereeing. I'm also often called upon to referee between my students and it's like very irritating. It's like the most irritating thing. She doesn't want to do this, Geshe-la. Then I'm like, just talk to her. I don't like her. You know? And I'm like, can't you just talk to each other? No, you write her an email. Tell her she has to do, you know, like, okay, but I still think you should just talk to her, you know? And then, you know, I mean, that's the, refereeing is like the worst thing. Anyway, I don't like it. All right. Just work it out with each other, and that's better. Okay. Kelte Mompe Chegyurna. If you do, oh idiot, Mongba means Mongba means idiot. Or retarded or something. Mongba, Kelte Mompe Chegyurna. If you are a person with such a dull mind that you would upset your lama's day, you know, hurt them in that way, then there's no question that you will tsepa in the hell realms. Tsepa means, it's an ancient word. Don't forget this is text is now 1900 years old, right? You will, what do you call that? What do you do to a momo? Before you eat it, Rob. Oh, no, in the pot. Steam it. Yeah, you will be steamed in the hell realm. That is a specific verb for steaming momos. Sepa. You'll never see it anywhere, so don't bother learning it. Okay. Sepa gyur. You will be steamed in the hell realms. Okay. There are eight hot hells. There are eight cold realms. We can talk about it someday. It's not very fun. All right. Narme laso jigrungwe. The what do you call it? Terror striking, terror, something that strikes terror in your heart. Terrible? Terrifying, good, terrifying. The terrifying hell is called Narme. Narme means in Sanskrit Avicii, which is the lowest of the eight hell realms, okay? And it's a terrible place. You live your whole life enveloped in fire, okay? And it feels like you're enveloped in fire, okay? Thousands of years, millions of years. So Jigrunwe, Nyawatemba Kanyiba, those hell realms which were taught by Lord Buddha, Lopanlani Mupadam, they are reserved for those who criticize their teachers. Okay. And Derni Nepa Yandoshe. Buddha said you will stay there. You will have to live there. Okay. Sumbashin Lopanlanyemu Shorna. If you happen to, right, Shorna, yeah, if you slip up and you criticize your teacher, either mentally or verbally, the verbal is not so hard. We can control our mouth. If you have many years of practice, you can control your mouth. But the mind is wild. The mind is the mind will think five thoughts before you even know. But those are karma. Those are raw karma, right? Nyamishona Tsendir Yang Mindu Nagu Chungde. even in this life, forget after you die, many different weird things and things you don't want to happen will happen. Nagu, those of you learning Tibetan, Na means Natsok, SNA means a variety. And Gu means the number nine. But it's a pluralizer in Tibetan. So when you say he had nine problems, it means he had a billion. He had a zillion. It's a way to say millions. Okay, it's nine, but it doesn't mean nine. Okay, Nagu means like a zillion different varieties of problems will come to you in your life. Okay. Ngun pagyu na lopen sangye yeshe ki. Then he tells a very striking story, which I have never forgotten. And, oh, I forgot to look up the story about Krishnacharya for you. I'll try to do it tonight or this afternoon. I never forgot this story. It really struck me. I remember when I was hearing this book for the first time, and I remember hearing this story. It struck me very deeply. Nun Pagyuna, long ago in the land of Pakpas, India, which means the land of Aryas, people who saw emptiness, because there were a lot there, relatively. Lopan Sangye Yeshe. Sangye Yeshe is a personal name. It means Buddha's Jnana, wisdom of the Buddha. It's a monk's name. Ki, Chö Sungbe Tse, he was teaching the Dharma, okay, outside to a public gathering, okay. And then Kong Rangi Lama, his own teacher, his own Lama. You see what I mean? He's teaching the class, but his own teacher, Dubchen Paktsang. Dubchen means the great yoga siddhi or yoga master, the great master named Paktsang. Okay, Pak means, do you know Pak? This is not the Pak that means Arya. Huh? Yeah, this Pak means pig. Okay, who's Pakmo? Varahi. Yeah, that's Vajrayogini. Okay. Pakmo, the sow. The sow? And the Sanskrit is Varahi. I love to tell people the derivation. V-A-R-A-H-I. Okay? Just visualize it. V-A-R-A-H-I. Change the V to F. Change the F to P. Change the A-R to O-R. And the H changes to K. Pork. Okay? And the word pork comes directly from Varahi. And if you learn Sanskrit well, and you learn Indo-European and how it comes into English, you will see all these connections. It's kind of cool. You can read the New York Times and see the Sanskrit behind every word. And it's very cool. Anyway, pak means pig, all right? In this spelling, okay? With a different spelling, it means Arya. Same pronunciation, okay? Pak. Pak. Sang. Sang means a nest or a home. Like mi tsang means family, a human nest. Dra tsang means what? A monastery. The Tibetan word for monastery is monk nest. Dra means traba, means monk. And draba tsang means, dra tsang means the two colleges of Sarame and Sarajaya are called Jatsang. That unit of monastery is called Jatsang. Okay. So this Tsang means pig keeper. He was a swineherd. His teacher was a pig farmer. And he walked around with herds of pigs and made sure they didn't run away and fed them and, you know, slop and stuff like that. So he probably smelled bad but he was a high yogi. He was a high master. And they, in India, the high masters used to, probably nowadays they'd be working at Walmart or something. They used to hide as normal, you know, people like that. Paktsang, Tilopa means, the name Tilopa means the guy who makes oil from Til. Til means sesame. And he made his living crushing sesame seeds into oil. That's all he did. And, you know, he was one of the greatest yoga teacher in India. Okay. So anyway, Rangi Lama, Der Chumba, his lama walked by the pig herder walked by the back of the group, the audience, in the teaching. So Ma Tongwei Tsuldzu, he pretended that he didn't notice him. He like looked the other way, you know, pretended that he didn't notice his teacher. Because he was embarrassed to admit in front of his students that the pig keeper was his teacher. Zune, Jesu Lama Nge Ma Tong. And then he, on top of that, he added a lie. Zun means he lied. What? Lama Ma Tong. I didn't see my, I heard later that he had walked by, but I didn't see him. Nge means by me, was not seen the Lama. Okay? I didn't see him. Lied. Zun. Shube. Shu is the word for, to speak to your Lama. We don't say, I told my Lama. We say, I offered these words to my Lama. We speak in high language. Shu means, offered those words to his teacher. So we know from the verb shu that he was talking to his, he was lying to his Lama. Okay? Shube. Mingde ngusu chirdun. Mingde means your eyeball. The eyeballs came out and fell on the ground. He lost his eyes. His eyeballs actually fell out of his head. Okay, you don't believe it, but anyway. Musu means it really happened. Chir, this chir doesn't mean because. This chir means out, came out. Okay, dun means to come out. Okay, popped out. Sarlung means, what's churlung? Chur-chur-lung. Huh? Yeah, Patanjali. Who said that? Oh, good job. Yeah, Master Patanjali, who wrote the Yoga Sutra, his name in Tibetan is Chur-lung, the one who fell into the water because his, he appeared in his mother's hands when she was praying for a boy and she was offering Anjali, which is that water that you put in your hands. And so here we have hlung meaning fall down on the sa, on the ground, fell down on the ground. Okay. Hla sa means, yeah, Los Angeles, the city of the gods. Okay. Logyu dang. Logyu means he told that story. Okay. He told us the story. Who's he? Pabo Krimpache. Who's talking? Teacher Rinpoche, the Dalai Lama's teacher, okay? The current Dalai Lama's teacher is saying he told us the story of the swineherd, okay? Then he's going to go to... how are we doing on time? Are you guys okay? Can you... You need a pee-pee break? Or? Let's do a pee-pee break. What time are we supposed to start? So let's do a pee-pee break in like 5 or 10 minutes. We'll take a mini break. See how fast... Okay. Dakpo Jambal Thundur Rinpoche. Dakpo is a place in Tibet called Dakpo. Jambal Thundur is a lama's name. Rinpoche means the precious one. And this is the name of Pabang Rinpoche's heart teacher. Why do you know his name? He wrote the meditation song, which we'll be studying. We're going to go back and study more of that by the end of the week. Okay, the Georgia. The book of preliminaries for meditation were written by this lama. Okay. Oh, wow. It is a minor problem. Okay, come back, come back. Rinpoche, nye ne means there was a disciple who was close to him, who stayed near him all the time. Nye ne means a disciple who's an attendant, a constant attendant to somebody. And his name was Sutram Lak. So Sutram is just a personal name. Lak means that guy, like Geshe Lak. Geshe La is it's kind of like honorific. So they'll call him Joe La or Nick La or something. Okay. So there was an attendant, a close attendant named Sutram. Tegu Mebashik Jesu. He would show disrespect towards Pabang Krimpache's teacher. Okay, and after that, he went back to Gokar. Gokar is an area of Tibet. Lar in that pass, near a mountain pass, Kunma, he met a bandit, Goot Zogdu Chom. And there was a, what do you call that kind of stone where you grind corn or... The big ones that... Yeah, like a millstone. The Navajos use them and... Yeah, it's a big stone. It's not... Huh? What's it called? Metate. It's those big, huge stones and you use another stone and you grind the corn. So that bandit was hiding and he took this stone and smashed in his skull of the student. Chomne Shiwa, and he died. So these are things that happened in Pabonka's own Dharma family, right? Okay. You want another depressing story? Let's do it. Let's take a bathroom break. Okay. The next story is a little bit of a long story. And I researched it for you and I got the whole story. So it'll take some time. So let's take a bathroom break until 5. It's about a 10-minute little mini bathroom break. So, New Sirpa is a very unusual name, and it refers to an early Kadampa Lama, so one of the early Lamas of our tradition. His dates are 1042 to 1118. His monk's name was Yeshe Bar. And he had a student, Lobma. Damtsik Nyamba means he broke his commitment. Probably to his teacher. They don't say. But probably to his teacher. Damtsik Nyamba Shikar. When it came time, on his deathbed, Jignang Jungtsu, he went into a state of terror. Jungtsu Sok, etc., meaning there was a longer story. Tsel means the Lama told us that whole story. Who's the Lama? Pabonka Lama. So Chichen Rinpoche doesn't tell us the whole story. He just says, at this point, Pabonka Rinpoche told us the story of Nyingsarpa's disciple, what happened to him. So I went and got it for you. And where I got it is from a beautiful book called Shinyin Tenso, which means how to behave around your teacher. And it's a 50-page treatise written by Pabonka Rinpoche. It's a separate book about how to behave or how to have a good relationship with your teacher. And maybe it would be nice to study someday. It's a beautiful book. And it seems to be a classic. It would be an interesting book to study in our free time. Okay. So I'll read you that. I cut it out, you know, on the computer, and I'll just read it for you. I didn't put it up there. That's just the raw, this is the raw mother text. And then my notes, I chopped out other scriptures, but I didn't want to show you all that because it would be too much for you. Nyingsarpa Lobma Gezo Shiki. There was a Gezo, a novice monk who was a student of Nyingsarpa. Lama Tenso Lokpe. He failed in his relationship to his teacher. Somehow the relationship went bad. Lama Gezo Koma Chikong. Then one day he got a fever. He had a serious fever. And by the way, I'm supplementing that book with another book by Jetsun Kapa, which is called The Brief Presentation on the Steps of the Path. So Tsong Khapa wrote three. He wrote a shorter presentation, medium presentation, and then the Lam Rim Chimo. So quoting the lesser presentation, shorter one. Chikyan Chusum Kanagi, he was dying. He started to die. He got a serious fever and started to die. And then his teacher, Nyingsarpa, said, "Go tell him he should apologize to me. Somehow he disrespected his teacher." And the teacher said, "Tell him he should apologize." And he refused. The student refused. Sene Drapa Sene, Nusurpa Sene, Ching Shupa Yingyang. And the teacher started to get frantic and begging him to apologize, or, you know, he refused. Then he went into this kind of delusion, what do you call that? Hallucination, that the mountains, the monastery was in a small valley surrounded by mountains, and he thought the mountains were starting to fall down on him, which is something that is in a hell realm, there's a place like that. Then he started screaming. The student started screaming. And then he felt like the whole monastery was on fire. He said, our monastery is on fire. It wasn't on fire. Only he saw the fire. And then he felt as though the room that he was laying in caught on fire. And then he felt as though he was catching on fire. Okay, and he started screaming. And then he died like that. And they say he went to the hell realms. He died screaming. And then there's a verse about it. When I watch people around their teachers, I sometimes there's a word pop into my head. It's called children playing with razor blades. You know, those words pop into my mind. It's very weird. For many years, it's been like that. I served my teacher for 25 years. I saw many students come and go, hundreds, and that word, that phrase used to pop in my mind all the time. Oh, they're children playing with the razor blades. They don't know what they're doing and they're cutting themselves, you know. Okay, the next cheerful section is problem number 7. Okay, so problem number 5 was good qualities you have will degenerate and you won't be able to get new ones. Problem number 6 was many kinds of problems will come in your life. Serious, and eventually they will kill you. Like cancer or things like that. 7 is Dumba Chima Ngensung Muta Mepa Kyambani. If you fail in your relationship to your teacher, then you will wander. Kyamba means wander. In the Ngensung means lower realms. Muta Mepa means endlessly. Okay. Nimig Cheshite, this is the worst one. Lama la Nyeme Chepa Deni, a person who criticizes their teacher in their mind or in their words. Lakna Dorje Wang Kurwe Gyule Sumbatarin. It's like the story that you find in Lakna Dorje. What's Lakna Dorje? Or Chakna Dorje? Vajrapani. Okay, Lakna Dorje. The one who has a diamond in their hand. Lak means hand. Lakna means in the hand. Dorje. His name is the one who has a diamond in his hand. Pani means hand. Vajrapani. Wang Kurwe Gyu means the tantra in which there occurred the empowerment of Vajrapani. The tantra dedicated to the empowerment of Vajrapani. It describes what happens to people who disrespect their teacher. Okay. Shen Nyalwe Rab Mambo Dole Sunkyang. In the sutras, in the open teachings, in Chinese, we were in China, I was teaching a very exclusive teaching in China for a week. And they have the word jing, like xin jing or jing kan jing. And it means sutra or old book. But they use it for all old books, like Tao Te Ching is an old book. And it just means kind of like old book. So I was teaching them the three meanings of the word sutra, because jing can be translated as sutra. Sutra can mean a short book, like Yoga Sutra just means a short book on yoga. Sutra can mean, how do you say, as opposed to shastra, which means a commentary, ancient Indian commentary, which is the Tengyur, or the sutras, which is the Kongyur. Teachings given by Lord Buddha, or teachings given by other Indian Buddhists. Okay, then sutra can mean open teaching as opposed to tantra. Okay, you can say sutra and shastra, or you can say sutra and longer books, or you can say sutra as opposed to tantra. So here we're, in this case, we're talking about tantra. Okay. The open teachings, the sutra teachings, they describe the... There are many stories there about the hell realms. There are many stories that take place in the hell realms. But, kyang, lama la nyima chepa de nyalwa dirke she maten. You rarely see anyone directly say what happens to a person who disrespected their lama and which hell they go to and what happens to them. You rarely see it. Then la, but you there, but in this particular tantra. So I think he's justifying his use of a tantra. Normally, Pabong Krimpache was very careful not to speak about tantra in a public teaching. I think he's, what he's trying to say is that I have to go to a tantra. Okay, you there, Lagna Dorje, in this tantra, Vajrapani asks a question of the Buddha. So don't forget that there are 8 close bodhisattvas, close disciples of the Buddha, and they have names like Manjushri or Avalokiteshvara or Maitreya or Vajrapani. They weren't recognized as tantric deities till later. Okay, they were bodhisattvas. Lagna Dorje. So Vajrapani asks a question to the Buddha in that tantra. Here's the question. Chamden de kanda lopen la nyepa kipa deda ki namba mimba jita bu la. Chamden de means, O victorious one, right? Bhagavan, right, in Sanskrit. Kandak, those people, lopen la nyepa gipa, who disrespect or criticize their teacher. Dedaki namba mimba. What's the karmic result? What's the ripening of that karma? Mimba, jitabular. What's it look like? Okay. She de namin sungar kulwana. In those words, he asked Lord Buddha, he exhorted Lord Buddha, please tell us what's the karmic result of criticizing your lama. Okay. Then, Chamden Deki Katsalba means, Lord Buddha replied, Lagna Dorje, this is the vocative case. Oh, Vajrapani. You know, he's addressing Vajrapani. Oh, Vajrapani. Hladan Chepe Jiten Tapar Gyurki Deke Mama. Don't ask me. The world will shudder. The world will cry. The world will weep. Okay, don't ask me this question. Just don't ask the question. You can't ask me this question. Okay. Then Sanwi Dagbo Unkang Chungshi Jupacha. So he's kind of persistent. I wonder if he's breaking his lama. Anyway, he says, could you just give us a hint? You know, like, you don't have to say much, just give us a hint, you know. Sanwi Dagbo, Lord of Secrets, Unkang, oh. Well, Chungshik Jopar Cha. I'm sorry, Lord Buddha is speaking, okay? I'm sorry, yeah. Sanwai Dagpo means, O Lord of Secrets. Who's that? Vajrapani. He's talking back to Vajrapani. Unkyang means, however. Chungshik Jopa Cha means I will say something. I will say a little bit. So I'm sorry, I misinterpreted. It's not Vajrapani talking. Chai, the possessive agiku I, right? The apostrophe I on BYA. It's the, what do you call that in grammar? Disjunctive. It's not possessive. When you see an apostrophe S at the end of a sentence in Tibetan, be suspicious. It's a disjunctive particle. It's but, and it's not of. Okay, you don't say of at the end of a sentence in English either. Okay, I won't. Something I won't speak of. Anyway, just kidding. And he says, but Bawo Drimte means Bawo. Oh, you young warrior, you know. Dimte Nyunchik means, dim means focus. Like if you drive a car and you're not focusing. The way I learned the word dim was I'd be looking, I was Rinpoche's driver for 25 years. And he's like, dimte, dim, you know, concentrate on the road. Okay. Dimte Nyunchik means, I'll tell you a little bit about that karma, but, and you listen. You better listen, okay? Nyunchik means listen. Then he says that Same Laso Misepa Nyawa Kanda Nge Shepa Denamkini Nesuju Denikapa Taeso Deta Wena Namkundu Namyan Lopan Nyemicha Same Laso Misepa. I have already described to you the five Same. What's that? The five greatest bad karmas in Buddhism. What are they? Kill your mother, kill your father, kill an arhat. Draw blood from a Buddha with evil intent, which gets the nurses out of trouble. And then splitting up the Sangha. Causing a rift in a Dharma group, which is, we can't do the, I mean, we're not going to kill our mother, we're not going to, there's no Buddha around to kill right now, but you know, breaking up a Dharma group is very easy to get involved with, so we have to be careful. Same laso misepa, these unbearable, nyawa kandang ngeshepa, the hell realms which I have described for you, which are for people who commit those five most serious Buddhist sins. Denam kini nesuju. This is where those people go. What people? The people who disrespect their Lama, criticize their Lama, okay? Nesuju. And how long? Kalpa. So the other day I forgot the number yesterday. 10 to the 60th power. Is how many eons it takes to become enlightened, okay? All right? 10 with 60 zeros on it. And then each of those eons is many millions of years, hundreds of millions of years, okay? Kalpa taye. Taye means what? Ta means limit, right? Ye means no. It means infinite. Infinite number of kalpas, they will stay there, okay? For what? Criticizing your teacher, okay? All right. That's the Buddha's answer that he didn't want to give because it would upset the whole world. Okay. The world, if they heard it, they should cry. Okay. Tayasa. De Dawena Nam Kundu Namyan Lopa Nyimija. Therefore, please never criticize your teacher. This is Lord Buddha talking, okay? In a tantra. And I looked it up, and it's called Aryavajrapani Abhisheka Mahatantra, okay? The tantra of the great empowerment of Vajrapani. And it's there, and it's quoted correctly. What they don't quote is the next verse, which I kind of like. I went and got it for you from the tantra, okay? Sanwe dapo, but vajrapani, lopan la lo mejitar chawa shena. How should we behave towards our teacher? How should a student behave towards their teacher? And then he says, sangye chamde de nam la jitawa shindu, as if they were the Buddha. Who's talking? Lord Buddha, okay, got it? And then... And if they do, okay, if they do, then taktu gawa kewa gyor, they will live in a state of endless joy and endless happiness. And deni jikten tamte la. And by honoring their teacher, they help all planets. Jikten tamte la pemberchepe. And sangye gyor. And then they, sangye gyor. They become a Buddhahood. They become a Buddha. And they help all worlds. Those who honor their teacher, who have I like to say they have affection for their teacher. I have lots of students who disrespect me. They call me what was they call me? Oscar or something? Where? In Mexico. They were making fun of me. But it was with great affection. So I think we call kupa kambo dry respect. It's the same word used for dry dog poop. And that kind of respect, which is very sterile and unjoyful and anal and tells other people, don't talk to the Lama and leave the Lama alone. And, you know, that's not respect. I don't consider it respect. I think after many, many, many years, my whole life, trying to behave properly towards my teacher, I think what they really want is affection. They want your affection. They don't care if you call them dickhead, but it should be with affection. And then that's better than calling them oh geshe la and then being unkind to everybody. You see what I mean? So I think it's kind of an affection thing. Pemba Chepa, if you have that kind of joyful, sweet, fun relationship with your teacher, then you actually affect many planets. That behavior, what do you call it? Like ripples. What do you call that? Yeah, it's like reverberate. It sounds like reverberates. It just ripples out to many other planets, okay? It has repercussions on many other worlds. Even as you're doing it, it causes happiness. Yeah. Yeah, it has ramifications in many worlds that we cannot see. There are many worlds of beings are brought great joy if you have a joyful, affectionate relationship with your teacher, okay? Then that actually enlightens other worlds, okay? So that's, I like, you know, I told you this story, but my boss used to try to get me to stay late, and I'd be like, no. And he'd be like, you have to stay or I'll fire you. And I'm like, fire me, you know? Yeah, I don't care, fire me, I have to go to class. I have to run now to the bus station and go to class. And he's like, I'll fire you. And I'm like, fire me. And then I call him in the morning, you want me to come in or not, you know? He's like, all right, come in, you know. And then and then one night, I remember, I'm like, I got to go. And he's like, Mike, you know, sit down. I got to tell you something. You know, I'm like, what? And he's like, we got a big order from JCPenney. It's 1,000 diamonds we need tonight, you know. You're the only one who can do it. You know, you're just the linchpin of this company. We depend on you. You know, if you're not here, we can't make it. We won't be able to do it. You're just the guts of this company. You know, I'm like, I can do it. You know, I'll stay. I'll stay till midnight. He's like, yeah, okay. You know, thanks. You know, we really need you. You know, and for me, if you tell me being sweet to my Lama is going to reverberate to 1,000 worlds today, that it will make people happy in 1,000 other planets. For me, it's a lot better than saying, oh, you're going to go to hell if you don't make Geshe Michael a cocoa this morning. Yeah. And I don't know. But I didn't write the book. Okay. Okay, last thing. The Buddha is saying that if he were to describe in detail what happens to people who disrespect their Lama. Chak means to be frightened, okay? Chachu means I got scared. The worlds, even with the Lhas, the worlds with the Devas. So what's that mean? Planets with, each planet in Buddhism is said to have all three realms. A form realm, a formless realm, and a desire realm. So, Triloka, right? Three worlds. So, it means not just the humans in those other planets, even the deities, the what do you call it? 10-cent deities, the temporary deities who live in those worlds. They will also be scared to talk about this subject of what happens to a person who disrespects their teacher. Okay. Topic Gershing. Unfortunately, the people who have to hear this teaching don't come. All right. Changsam Dagni Chambo Nam Kyan Gyawagya. Changsam Dagni Chambo means those bodhisattvas. What's Dagni Chambo in Sanskrit? Chembo means Maha Atma. Maha Mahatma. Mahatma. This is the translation of Mahatma in Sanskrit, from Sanskrit. It's very cool. Mahatma means, was long before, it was a word that was used by the Buddha, and it means great soul, great being, Mahatma. Those bodhisattvas who are Mahatmas. Why does he say, why doesn't he just say bodhisattvas or great bodhisattvas? Why does he say those who are Mahatmas? What's in the Heart Sutra? Why do they say Chandru Samba Samba Chambo? The great bodhisattvas. Yeah, they're mainly Aryas. They've seen emptiness also. Okay, mainly that. If they hear, even those very powerful bodhisattvas who have seen emptiness directly, if I really told you what happened to people who disrespect their teacher, Gyalwa Gyur. This Gyalwa, this spelling of Gyalwa, B-R-G-Y-A-L, means to fall down unconscious. Mean, what do you call it? They would pass out or they would faint. They wouldn't be able to hear it. Okay. Gongne. Their Gongne means, this is the Gong and Gombo Rabso, which means having that in mind, okay, Shibtu Sungma Puh. Tsulki, it was as if he didn't dare to speak in detail. Who's he? Lord Buddha. So the scripture, in the scripture, it's almost feels as though Lord Buddha is afraid to go into detail. Tsulki, nar me du lo tang mambo ne gopat samshik ten. So he taught that a person would have to stay in many for many years in Narme, the lowest of the hells, okay? Samshik. That's a terrible word there, okay? Sam. Like, what's Semtsam mean? I just taught Semtsam in China for a week. Yeah, mind only. So why does he say only here? This is Pabong Rinpoche. Lord Buddha taught that people who criticize their lamas, some go to the hell realms. There was more, but he was afraid to say it. Okay, Mapapa means he was afraid to tell us. He didn't. He stopped. And there's more, but he didn't want to say it. Lord Buddha didn't want to say it. Okay, he was afraid to say anything. For us, he didn't want to hurt us. Okay, we. We'll stop there, but the next paragraph gets more depressing. And it's about it's a little piece about the effects of being around people who have collected that kind of karma. What does it do to me? Does it rub off on me if I'm around those people, you know? If I make a mistake with my teacher, how does that affect people around me? Does that hurt the people who eat lunch with me or, you know, hang out with me? Am I hurting others when I disrespect my teacher? Okay. That's a big question. What am I doing to the people around me? Okay. So he's gonna go into that. All right. Okay. All right. Let us have a jolly. That's a dinner time, I think. Yeah, okay. All right. I kind of changed the homework structure to make it so that hopefully you could finish most of the homework after each class. Okay. So it's more work for me, but it's better for you, I think. But I might get behind. Okay. Gunnar, you ready? Purki Jushi Mata Tam Rira Bling Shin in the Yampadi Sange Shindu Mikte Huagi Dokunanda Shinachipasho.
Sanam yeshe lechue, tambakuni tupashu.